Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for January the 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And of course, it's the kind of revolution that Ron Paul talks about. Ron Paul literally talks about a revolution. But when Ron Paul's talking about it, it's a peaceful revolution of ideas, of thoughts, and more. All right, welcome to the broadcast. And we got a lot of hard-hitting material for you today. First off, a bunch of news headlines from me, first hour. Second hour, of course, we simulcast with Bridie on TV, the Sheriff Mac show, so get ready for that. And we are on Bridie on Radio, though. We'd like to graciously thank them for all their support and involvement in all that we do. So a kudos to them. And so it all starts now. We had our guest on yesterday, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. We also talked about the Supreme Court blocks Biden's vaccine mandate for private businesses, the Epoch Times. And that's a story that we've talked about before, so it's not fresh. It was last week, really. But we wanted to highlight that it was a 6-3 decision in favor blocking the vaccine vote for businesses. That's wonderful news. But the flip side, 5-4 decision to allow the mandate for healthcare workers, shame on the courts, shame on the, quote, conservative judges, for their crossing the Rubicon with the liberals and selling us out on this. Let me explain what I mean. See what government money does to corrupt the system? If the healthcare industry was not dependent on the government in the first place, then you know what? They wouldn't have such an influence on the healthcare industry. So here's the example to make the point. The danger in the court's opinion, ladies and gentlemen, is that Congress might unconstitutionally give the mandate for the vaccine, okay? And if they do that, then the Supreme Court would rule it's okay. So just imagine if Congress gives OSHA the ability to, regulate vaccines, then the courts would say, well, it's okay because Congress said so. No, that's not okay. Congress doesn't have authority in this realm. In fact, OSHA is unconstitutional. So the bottom line is, folks, we've got to be very careful here. We've allowed money to kind of grease the wheels. The court said, well, because OSHA's never been given that authority, we're not doing it. But if Congress gave OSHA authority, then the courts have backed that authority. That's a big problem. It means the court's unhinged. It means the court's not able to independently think. Congress cannot do whatever they want to do, folks. I know they're the lawmaking body, branch of government. I get it. But that doesn't mean they have carte blanche, authority to do whatever they want to. It isn't true. Remember that, folks. Who will save you from this insane tyranny? Only you have the power to save yourselves, writes Gary D. Barnett in a great column that we covered with Lowell Nelson. We also told the story of Abraham Clark, signer of the Declaration of Independence. The cause of independence is bigger and more important than any one man or any two men. When I signed the Declaration of Independence, I pledged my sacred honor. That, sir, is not for sale, even if it relates to one or both of my sons. Even to the expense of my two eldest sons, he says. The Clarks paid a dear price for liberty. Sarah was a tough woman. She was there right along with her husband, Abraham. What price are you willing to pay for liberty, ladies and gentlemen, is the question. Huh? What price are you willing to pay? We talked about this in detail. Would you die for the sacred cause of liberty? Are you willing to live for the sacred cause of liberty? That's really the point, isn't it? We need a revolution, says Ron Paul. But he's not talking about a forceful, violent revolution. He's talking about a revolution of ideas, a peaceful revolution of ideas and education, a change in our understanding of the proper role of government, and then insisting on the checks and balances to make it so. I don't call that revolution. I know what he's saying, but I call that restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We also talked about H.R. 5746. Freedom to vote would be a loss of freedom, writes John Birch Society in an email. They really highlight that. Vote against, push against, tell your congressmen and senators to go against that bill, please. But in contrast, we talked about SecureVoteUtah.org. We hope to inspire citizens in other states to take responsibility for election integrity, ladies and gentlemen. Eliminate chain of custody issues. Eliminate computers and other electronic counting machines. Let's use methods, ladies and gentlemen, that ensure fair elections and increase voter confidence in the election process. Please, please. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour two, we had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. And we talked about winter storm pushes north after bringing snow to the southeast. We talked about empty shelves and 1 million without power. When will we turn to God is my question on the whole topic. When are we going to realize, folks? When are we going to get a clue? God loves us, but he punishes us. He chastises us to stir us up in remembrance of our God, to help us remember him so that worse things don't come down the pike at us. Look, actions have consequences. Turning your back on God and his commandments, disaster. Martin Luther King Day is a federal holiday held on the third Monday of January, and it supposedly celebrates the life and achievement of King Jr., right? They call him an influential civil rights leader. I think the guy was a thug. Shame on MLK Day, ladies and gentlemen. Evidence of King's communism and his communist ties and communist connections, along with his adulterous behavior, ladies and gentlemen, clearly contradicted his stance as a minister of God in preaching virtue in public life. I mean, I appreciate some of the things that he said, but it doesn't square with his actions and who he was as a human being. One can understand the Democratic Party possibly honoring Martin Luther King, which isn't even his real name. Why are conservatives and Republicans honoring Michael? Why have taxpayers and citizens been forced to pay homage to him, huh? Nevertheless, the man of the myth persists, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Why do we keep upholding King? He doesn't represent who we are. He talked about the content of the character. Wow. His character left something to be desired. That's for sure. What about the truth on that? Where's the Me Too movement to say Martin Luther King raped a woman and was involved in all kinds of orgies and other less than godly behavior? Should I be polite and say it that way, huh? All right, so where's the Me Too movement when it comes to Martin Luther and Bill Clinton, huh? Jeffrey Epstein, by the way, visited the White House in Bill Clinton's first term, brought numerous women with him, writes Ryan Saavedra. The Daily Mail unearthed logs showing that, hey, Epstein went to the White House 17 times in the first term alone, bringing women with him and everything else to the White House, to the Oval Office, if you will. What's up with all that? Will Hillary run again in 24, you might ask? Some are saying, yes, indeed, she will. It's the epic Hillary comeback. Time will tell if that's the reality. I know a lot of people might laugh and go, are you kidding me? That old lady can't do anything. Don't underestimate the Clintons, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Clinton's presidential candidacy was on the ropes in 60 Minutes, literally launched him into the White House. The mainstream power of the press is beyond imagination. The CIA-driven media has real power, folks. Don't underestimate them. Are the government and the media literally engaging in psychological warfare? Psychological warfare, ladies and gentlemen, is the use of propaganda threats, and other psychological techniques to mislead, intimidate, demoralize, and otherwise change the thinking and thus the behavior of their opponents. Forget COVID, ladies and gentlemen. They say here's the cause, they're the leading cause of death worldwide. Once again, it's the legalized murder, abortion, killing of the most vulnerable among us. Bob Unruh, WND.com. The leading cause of death worldwide in 2021 is abortion, sadly, for the third year in a row. 42% of all deaths, intentional murder disguised as abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know how to respond to that, really. It's so criminal. It's so evil. It's so hostile. It's so hate-filled. I don't even know how to talk about it without wanting to just tear up over it. It's absolutely insanity what we do in the name of a woman's choice to choose. Well, she chose to be involved in the act that creates pregnancy called procreation, a God-ordained act designed for a man and a woman, one man and woman, to create children and bring them to the earth. And we mock it with our engaging when we ought not, according to God's laws. And then when things go wrong, we want to murder the results of that ill-advised action in the first place in most cases. Wow, shame on us. 42% of all deaths, 40-plus million murders a year worldwide. Oh, heaven help us. Liberty Roundtable Live continues on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tear-filled tales of truth come your way. Are you ready? Yeah, Ashley Babbitt. Do you remember who she is, ladies and gentlemen? That's the former female veteran that was at the U.S. Capitol January 6th, 2021, right? She literally was climbing through a window, and they literally shot her, murdered her in cold blood. If the 42-plus percent of the world's deaths are abortion, that's not enough mayhem and killing. Well, then you kill Ashley Babbitt, and they say, oh, man, she was out of control. She was coming in the window. The cops were fearing for their lives. Well, they lie. And video evidence proves it. Headline, Ashley Babbitt tried to stop attack on Capitol Speaker's lobby. Video now shows. Female shows video of Trump female supporters, including Ashley Babbitt, and their desperate pleas for rioters to do not, please don't break windows, stop, no, don't, please wait. Article by Joseph M. Hanman. Epic Times, ladies and gentlemen, the Epic Times. Ashley Babbitt desperately tried to prevent rioters from vandalizing the doors leading to the Speaker's lobby to the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, 2021, even stepping between one troublemaker and police officers guarding the doors, a video analysis shows. They say frame-by-frame video evidence analyzed by the Epic Times paints a vastly different picture of Babbitt's actions than that portrayed in media accounts over the last year. The news regularly painted Babbitt as violent, a rioter, or an insurrectionist who was angrily trying to breach the Speaker's lobby. Lies. Video clips actually appear to show that she tried to prevent the attack, not join it. Video shot by John Sullivan. He's also known as Jaden X, by the way. Shows that Babbitt actually tried to stop the violence against the Speaker's lobby at least four times before she climbed into a broken window and was shot by U.S. Capitol Police officer Michael Byrd. At one point, she was so distressed at the violence, she was jumping up and down in frustration. The reality of it is, Ashley was not a violent person. She was a good person, but they've demonized her to become this, quote, domestic terrorist that she never has been and never really was. Taylor Hansen, he's an independent journalist that was literally a few feet away from Ashley Babbitt when she was shot. He explained the details to the Epic Times. She served her country for 14 years. That's just insane to me that they can actually get away with this murder, pushing this narrative, Hansen said. They've done that by suppressing firsthand witnesses like me, he continues. Hansen said that he was walking behind Ashley Babbitt on the second floor of the Capitol at about 2:40 p.m. She turned right down the Speaker's lobby hallway, and so Hansen followed her. Trapped in the hallway, folks, is what happened. We didn't know anything about the building we were in. She turned the corner, and I just followed her, Hansen explains. A big group of people followed us after I followed Ashley. People just kind of emerged on the door. By that time, she was stuck in the corner. She was literally trapped there, Hansen explains. Babbitt served in the U.S. Air Force as a military police officer, was chatting with three officers from U.S. Capitol Police in the Metropolitan Police Department. And she had looks of shock over the vandalism that was taking place. Babbitt tried to stop rioters from breaking down the doors. She was shot just moments later, ladies and gentlemen. Jaden X with a YouTube video about it. About 5 minutes prior to her getting shot and killed, all of those officers, Officer Yetter and the other officers in the hall, they were all joking with her and laughing with her, Hansen said. They were having conversations and joking and laughing. Then not even 5 minutes later, Michael Byrd comes and executes her. It's Byrd, B-Y-R-D, comes and executes her. Babbitt confronted rioter Zachary Lamb, leaning in between him and one of the police officers guarding the doors. And then, I guess this guy's name is Alam, turned away from Babbitt and punched a window to the side of the officer's head. Babbitt winces just before he strikes the window with his right hand. He later uses a helmet to smash the tempered glass. An audio analysis of the video taken in the hallway reveals that Babbitt shouted, "Stop, no, don't, wait," Her husband, Aaron Babbitt, gives us the details. After repeatedly forcing myself to watch the murder of my wife, I have come to my own conclusions, Aaron Babbitt says, that Ashley came to a point of realization that she was in a very bad situation and the police weren't acting appropriately to what she was witnessing, Aaron Babbitt told the Epoch Times. I know my wife very well. She's not destructive, Babbitt said. She was not there to hurt anyone. As the police officers moved away from the speaker's lobby doors, the U.S. Capitol Police Containment Emergency Response Team, CERT, if you will, was coming up the stairs, responding to a report that shots were fired. Standing adjacent to the departing officers, Babbitt peers around them at the men smashing the glass. Her expression is one of shock. She yells at the two rioters in fear for her life. She feared for her life, so she climbed to the broken window in hopes to save her life, but birds shot her before she even got more than partway into the window frame. The only way we will ever know why Ashley felt like the window was the only way out is if she had been detained by one of the countless police officers that abandoned their post in front of those doors, Babbitt said. That's her husband, Babbitt, right? That did not happen. She was murdered and robbed of the chance to tell her side of the story. Hanson and Sullivan, those are the two journalists that were firsthand witnesses to what's going on, right? Said they did not hear any warnings from inside the speaker's lobby before the shot to kill Ashley Babbitt was fired. The protesters were extremely loud. There were conflicting accounts from the cops on both sides of the barricaded door as to where warning instructions were given before Byrd fired on Babbitt. Sullivan was the first to notice Byrd's service pistol pointed towards the window. He and Hanson both shouted warnings. I began yelling, "Hey, there's a gun. He's got a gun." But I could barely hear John Sullivan. He was right next to us because of the people were screaming and windows were breaking. It was so loud. Folks, since there was a gun, I got on the ground, Hanson said, because I didn't know what was going on. I figured I'm going to get as low as possible in case there's any ricochets, misfires, or anything like that. I had a Kevlar vest on, which I always wear when I go on reports. We tried to warn people and they couldn't hear us. Everybody was screaming, Hanson explained. A lamb broke out the window beside or to the right of the double doors because he intended to use it to breach the speaker's lobby, Hanson said. The only reason he didn't climb through before Babbitt was his glasses got knocked down on his face and it stopped him. He stopped to readjust them. He was about to go through that window, Hanson said. It was his idea. He was the one shattering the glass. Babbitt said the situation shows how two people can look at the same video and reach completely different conclusions. It all comes down to which mental angle a person views it from. If they view Ashley Babbitt and they hate her because they believe the lies, then that's all they're going to see, her being part of a mob. But if you love her, know her, and you realize that you watch her mind process things based on her reactions, then you realize that she noticed she was not in a friendly situation. Something was very wrong. The U.S., of course, cleared Byrd without even interviewing him. The U.S. Department of Justice cleared Byrd of criminal culpability in the shooting of Ashley Babbitt without even questioning him or ever taking a statement that explains his actions that day, according to investigative records and the Babbitt family attorney. What a shame, folks. Oh, my goodness.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Democrats continue to lay claims that opponents of their election federalization legislation, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, are rooted in racism, and there is somehow a portion of the population that still lacks a right to vote. Representative Joyce Beatty, chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, refers back to the Obama election to push her cause.
They understand victory. They saw a black president elected because they voted. And they stood in line for 5 to 7 hours to vote.
Republican Governor Ron DeSantis.
It is Orwellian doublespeak to invoke the concept of voting rights to mean ballot harvesting or prohibiting voter ID or having taxpayers fund elections.
The Pew Research Center has reported 2/3 of registered American voters turned out in the 2020 general election, casting nearly 158.4 million ballots. USA Radio News.
Get to Kohl's to save on beauty, essentials, and home. Take 20% off all beauty and fragrance during our Love Your Look beauty event. Pick up Nike hoodies for the family starting at $19.99. Save 50% on Carter's for baby. And Sonoma Goods for Life bath towels are only $8.99. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. And get Kohl's cash this weekend at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid September 20th through 23rd with promo code SAVING. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
As lawmakers get back to work, President Biden won't likely succeed in his push to overturn the filibuster in a move needed for Democrats' voting legislation and other partisan legislation to be passed. Republican Representative Bill Johnson from Ohio on Newsmax.
Well, I certainly hope that it fails. The states under the Constitution, the state legislatures are the ones that have the sole authority to manage our federal elections. That's the way our country has worked since its founding. That's the way it should work now. I don't believe the president's going to be successful in getting Schumer to overturn the filibuster. And you know what's so interesting, Emma, is that the Democrats used the filibuster over 300 times in the last time that that Democrats were in the minority.
For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, live on your radio, hard-hitting talk. Where are you going to get these details, huh? The Epic Times doing a phenomenal job, I'm telling you right now. Ashley Babbitt tried to stop attack on Capitol Speaker's lobby, ladies and gentlemen. Video shows, female Trump supporters, desperate pleas to prevent rioters from breaking windows. Stop, no, don't, wait. They say, wow, what a sad, scary situation. Will we get to the bottom of this, ladies and gentlemen? They're supposed to be having an inquiry, right? The inquiry is supposed to get to the bottom of what really happened that day. Remember, they're going to stop at nothing to find the real perpetrators of these crimes and do something about it. Well, what about Ashley Babbitt then trying to promote peace? Getting murdered. You could say, well, you know what? The cop in this case thought she was a rebel or whatever, and, you know, it was mayhem and he made a mistake. That's fine. But let's not clear him of zero wrongdoing without even investigating what's going on. How did the cops leave right before this was to happen? It's almost as if it was by design. Every move in this thing seems like something's wrong. The U.S. Department of Justice cleared Byrd of criminal culpability in the shooting death of Ashley Babbitt without ever even questioning him or taking a statement that explains his actions that day. And you could say, well, Sam, that's just according to investigative records and the Babbitt family attorney. Well, where else are we going to get the information, ladies and gentlemen? See, that's the problem with this. Where else are we going to get the information on this, huh? Serious, serious issues here. And it's so sad. It just makes you want to cry. This lady is literally a veteran. She serves her country 14 years. She comes back. She's at the Capitol. She's saying, hey, we want to look into the election fraud just like everybody else going. We got to do something and support Trump and look into this thing. And it goes all wrong. It just runs straight off the rails. And you have more and more and more accounts on this. What is going on, man? What on earth is happening to our country? It's gotten to where now veterans are getting killed by government. No one even looks into it. Ashley was the bad girl. Turns out not even close to the truth. But again, you know what? Are we going to put people on the stand, sworn witnesses? How come we're ignoring these witnesses like these journalists that I just pointed to? The journalists that took the videos, the journalists that followed Ashley that were right there watching it all go down. The journalists and the witnesses that literally are doubling down and saying, look, these are the people that were committing the crimes. We even know who punched the window and broke the glass. It wasn't Ashley. Well, what's up with that person? Right? We're not even looking at the right people in this case, folks. You've got political prisoners all over the place that were really guilty of nothing. They just went into the Capitol to do the best they could and stuff like that, right? What the heck is going on, man? Right? And then remember, right after that event, right after the January 6th, I can't remember the exact date, but we had a lady on the radio named Vicky, right? And Vicky told us about the Capitol and said that she wound up in the Capitol unintentionally, right? And Vicky said, look, the violence that they're talking about was only by the very few. And we tried to stop them. So Vicky's testimony that I got personally on your radio from a live person that was in the Capitol that day literally said, hey, there was a few people doing violence and the rest of us were trying to stop them from the violence. And that was the first witness that I had that literally firsthand told me what was going on. And her name is Vicky, okay? And that was literally a day or two after. She was literally in her hotel room. She hadn't even really left yet. And she told us that story. So she said, look, we were there. There were bad guys amongst us. We believe they were Antifa and Black Lives Matter, whatever. But they were trying to create violence and destruction. We were trying to stop them. She said, I got forced into the Capitol. They literally arrested me. They finally let me go. Da-da-da-da-da. She explained the whole thing, right? Well, so then later, we get video. And other people told me, well, Sam, you know what? She might have just been in a spot where things were different on the other, you know, the Capitol's a big place. There was other locations. But she said, no, I'm convinced this was the real narrative that, you know what? There were violent people that were in the crowd, but most of us weren't. We were trying to stop it. That was her tale. That was her story from the very beginning. That was her witness, her testimony, whatever. Okay, and I believed her. Because it was so on the spot, and she was so, and she said, look, I kind of got hurt going in there. I kind of got beat up too a little bit. And well, then it got worse, and we got more information. And then the evidence came back, hey, you got these provocateurs. Provocateurs from revolver.news showing who the provocateurs were. You got Tower Man trying to make it act like he was peaceful. You got Scaffold Man who was literally leading people forward and promoting this, along with Ray Epps and others, and you got all these people in these videos and everything, all right? And the narrative from all the videos that we got about Ray Epps and everything else was there were agitators like Ray Epps. Ray Epps is literally on record saying, hey, I probably shouldn't say this. I'll get arrested. And somebody else's, several people are like, well, then don't say it, bro. Don't say it. Don't do it. He goes, I'm going to say it anyway. We need to breach the Capitol. And he goes, okay. But there again, you've got a few provocateurs, Ray Epps, then you've got a bunch of people around him going, dude, stand down. Stop this. Don't do that stuff. What are you doing? No. Right? So now you've got video evidence literally there. Now you have this Ashley Babbitt story. Ashley Babbitt tried to stop attack on Capitol Speaker's lobby in over four instances, show the journalists documenting via video where she's saying, no, stop, don't do it. You can see the horror on her face about what's happening and everything else. So now you've got literally the testimony that I put on the radio from Vicky literally a day after the event. And then you've got this all these videos of Ray Epps and all these other provocateurs, and the people are trying to stop them. The people are going, no, don't do that. What are you doing? And then now you got the Ashley Babbitt, even the person that got murdered, the only person that got murdered that day, the government was the only one doing the murdering. Isn't that always the case? Even in the Emma Bundy situation, the only people that did any murdering was government. They murdered Lavoie Finicum in cold blood. You could say, well, Lavoie was out of control. Ashley Babbitt was out of control. No, you can't. None of these officers were in a threatening situation in either case. The government's just out of control, trigger happy, crazy. The government is just absolutely off the rails, unhinged, crazy. They don't even look into when one of their cops literally kills her. Stop, no, don't wait, Ashley and others have been saying. Okay, that matches exactly what Vicky said, right? And when Ray Epps says we're going to breach the Capitol, people are like, no, bro, don't even say that. We're not doing, okay? And then you even hear one guy going, what the F over? Kind of joking, going, what is this guy talking about and saying and doing? That's not what we're about. That's not who we are. That's not what we're doing. You see video where you got Tower Man and you got Scaffold Man up there above everybody else, right? And Scaffold Man's agitating everybody and saying, move forward. We got to move into the Capitol. Come on, let's go. Everybody on the ground not realizing, thinking that's a security person legitimately for the Capitol, legitimately encouraging people to peacefully move forward. People are thinking that's what they should be doing, but it's wrong. Then you got this Tower Man that tries to step in and speak and tame the crowd down, going, hey, we're here to be peaceful. We're here to... And then all of a sudden, the Scaffold Man shoves Tower Man aside. It's like good cop, bad cop. It says, hey, move forward. We got to get this done. Ray Epps on the ground working with Scaffold Man directly. Buddies of theirs literally breaching the line. They joke and talk with police on one hand, but then they remove the barricades and the signage and everything else. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, between Revolver.News, the Epic Times, and WorldNet Daily, we're starting to get a real picture. Here's the real picture on January 6th. Your government somehow literally breached the Capitol by force by a few agitator, well-placed individuals who knew what they were doing. Alpha males who understood crowd, I don't want to say control, crowd manipulation, agitator status, provocateur extraordinaires. And they all worked together to breach the Capitol. And the poor innocent people got literally caught in the melee. There's video that denotes this. Now we get this truth on Ashley Babbitt. Matches Vicky's testimony exactly. Right? Folks, I'm just telling you right now, Vicky called it. We all tried to calm down these agitators. Now we see that in these videos. It's everywhere. You see an agenda being driven out. Now the government's got a bunch of innocent people in prison. People who were there caught up in the melee, but the real perpetrators of this crime are running around free. The only murder that happened on the event was from a cop who's now running around free. Ashley is dead. The family attorney is very concerned of Ashley Babbitt. What the heck? This bird guy, this cop, he's all cleared. No harm, no foul to him. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about this more. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
For decades, leftists, liberals, socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, "My body, my choice," in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument, since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming "my body, my choice" for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about "my body, my choice." They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, what evidence do I have? I've already given it to you. First-hand testimony from Vicky right after the event on January the 6th. Then more and more video coming out showing protesters trying to stop Ray Epps and other people from literally going violent and breaching the Capitol. They were peaceful demonstrators. They weren't even protesters per se. And then now we get the Ashley Babbitt story just showing that she tried to be peaceful. She did everything she could to help the cops and stop these things. Why the cops couldn't assess the situation and communicate to one another who the good guys were and the bad guys, I don't know. But when three cops are right there joking with Ashley Babbitt and literally then a bad guy breaks a window and Ashley's trying to stop him and then the cops just disappear and then she gets shot, I don't know how much of this is by design, ladies and gentlemen, versus mishaps due to confusion. And I don't know, but I know this. Why is it always the government shoots somebody? They claim we're violent, but they're the only ones killing people. And why every time if the government literally is the good guys and trying to really stop this and the poor cops were overwhelmed by protesters, why didn't they take down Scaffold Guy, Tower Guy, Ray Epps, the people that were coordinating and breaching the Capitol before most people ever even got there? What's up with all that? What's up with the cops leaving so that Ashley Babbitt gets killed? What's up with the good guys that were there peacefully, all being in prison as political prisoners, and the bad guys running around free? What's up with all that? Well, I'll give you the answer. Your government has gone criminal. Your government is rogue. Your government is out of control. Your government is so extreme now that even when something bad happens, they can't take responsibility. They lie and cover up. I mean, the cover-up got Nixon even more than the dishonest break-in in the first place to make the point. This is 40 years later, right? Well, longer than that, I guess, right? Okay. And you look at this and you go, why is this this way? Because that's what the government's design and intention is. I believe the government has literally declared war on the rest of us, folks. If you're conservative, if you're Ashley Babbitt, and you serve your country well, and you're heterosexual, and you're all the different categories, they don't like Christian, da-da-da-da-da, they are going to go after you. You say, Sam, why do you say such a thing? I'll tell you why, because the Salt Lake City Tribune, the Salt Lake Tribune is one of the biggest newspapers in the state of Utah. Editorial board literally published an editorial on Saturday that called on the Utah governor to use the National Guard to prevent unvaccinated citizens from going anywhere. So again, if you're the unvaccinated citizen, you're a nobody. You're a target. You're a domestic threat. And you can say, what? Yeah, well, that's what's going on, folks. You cannot deny it any longer. You say, Sam, it can't be that bad. Oh, yes, it can. From banning all of us on Twitter and Facebook and everything else, YouTube, shutting down anybody's financial wherewithal to attacks on anybody who's not vaccinated, to murders of Ashley Babbitt and blaming that all the conservatives literally created an act of insurrection, all the way to calling parents terrorists who don't want perversion taught in their schools relating to sex and gender and who don't want critical race theory taught that every one of us is a racist. Every one of us that's white's a perpetrator and everyone that's not white is a victim and everything should be viewed through this racial lens lie. It goes on and on. Well, it gets worse. Now there's a new attack on MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. It's particularly vile, they say. Mike Lindell, it's called bank dumping, he says. My businesses, my charities, financial institutions, says. Activist, entrepreneur, poses. Reputation risk. WND.com with this piece. Again, every time you get the real news, it comes from the Epic Times, WND.com, the New American. You know, just a few newspapers doing a phenomenal job indeed. Revolver.news, all the new media folks or people that have been around on the internet and who don't have big, you know, media mainstream war chests, they're all telling the truth on the news, and that's where we get it, folks. Mike Lindell says one of the nation's largest banks is moving to dump the 9 businesses and charities that he has founded in the wake of my success, or his success with MyPillow. Yeah, they say he poses a reputation risk. What does that even mean? Think about that. They're dumping the 9 businesses and charities, the nation's largest banks. Among them are his social media sites, frankspeech.com and lindell.tv. And the recovery network, it's called the Lindell Recovery Network, that helps people overcome addictions. Anyway, he was on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast for this. Lindell has been banned by media or social media platforms, and major retailers have stopped selling his products. Why? Because of his efforts to expose vote fraud in the 2020 election through documentaries, symposiums, and other activism. Steve Bannon played a recording of a phone call between a top executive at Minnesota Bank and Trust and Lindell's controller. The executive asked in the call why the bank and its subsidiary of Heartland Financial is associated with somebody who could be in the news. Not that the FBI is even sniffing and looking, but what if somebody came and said, you know what, we're going to subpoena all of his bank records, and then suddenly it makes the news. So it's more of a reputation risk, he said. Lindell, after his controller, that's a financial top expert accountant, right, informed him of the bank's intentions, tried to call CEO of the bank, Stephen Bishop, but was put on hold for an hour. He was put on hold again after calling back. They're telling us you need to leave our bank, Lindell told Bannon. They said they want Frank's speech gone in a week and the rest gone in 30 days. I said, I'm not leaving, so you're going to have to throw me out of your bank. Lindell noted that such, quote, canceling hasn't worked out so well for Bed Bath & Beyond. They had to close 37 stores since they eliminated his products a year ago. See Lindell's interview with War Room. Anyway, there you have it. Okay, they're literally attacking us all, ladies and gentlemen. And it comes in several forms. It might be shoot you, like Lavoie Finicum got murdered, like Ashley Babbitt got murdered. That's right. And then they might deplatform you and destroy your financial wherewithal over the vaccines if you won't support the vaccine mandate, or they'll shut you down because they don't like your speech. Doesn't matter if you're telling the truth. Doesn't matter who you are. You could be the president of the United States. You could be a lead senator. Doesn't matter. They don't care, right? They'll shut you down in an instant if they disagree with what you have to say. Ron Paul says, Facebook just locked me down for 90 days for speaking the truth. That's right. Sam, I once wrote that truth is treason in the empire of lies. Ever since Joe Biden took the presidency, big tech, Facebook, Twitter, Google, which owns YouTube, has unleashed a crackdown on any who dissent from the official government narrative, whether on health care, whether on the 2020 elections, or any other topic that the regime considers inconvenient, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it, right? I got to launch Skype here. There you go. Let's get this rolling here. You should be able to catch me on Skype now. I just joined. All right, so they're working on that here. Let me set this down while I continue radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you right now, they're attacking us all. Ron Paul getting attacked. We're getting attacked. Ashley Babbitt got murdered. The purge, as many commentators aptly put it, began with Donald Trump, then the sitting president of the United States, being banned from Twitter. So they literally shut down the president of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, at the time. Can you imagine? If it can happen to the president, it can happen to me and you, right? 2 days ago, Facebook now banned me, meaning Ron Paul, from communicating to my 1.2 million followers for at least 90 days. My speech crime, I shared an interview with the CEO of Pfizer, who, quote, said in his own words that two of his company's COVID shots offers very limited protection, if any, against COVID-19. The so-called missing context that Facebook's fact checkers claimed justifies banning me from interacting with over a million followers is that the drug company CEO was only referring to the Omicron variant that makes up 95% of new cases in the United States. They don't even know that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. They said that at Christmas time, and they got it all wrong. Remember that? This was my, quote, second sanctioning by Facebook in just over a year. And, of course, I'm only one of thousands of voices that big tech has shut down and silenced. Earlier this month, Dr. Robert Malone, one of the foremost contributors to the mRNA vaccines technology, to which all the vaccine, current vaccines depend on, he was shut down from Twitter because he violated their, quote, disinformation policy. Also, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene has been shut down. So Rand Paul has complained of being shut down. Folks, it's out of control. It's absolutely out of control. I don't even know what to think about it. I just know folks, the question becomes, how far should we push? On one hand, I want to be very kind and gentle and careful. My nature is gentle. But ladies and gentlemen, when they get this hostile, you kind of go, I don't know that I can be gentle. I don't know that I can just ignore all this, right? I don't know that I can just let this go, right? When how much can you just ignore this stuff and allow it to continue? I just don't know, folks. I don't know what we can do to simplify things, right? All right, I'm connected to Skype, gentlemen. And I'm just... All right, we're going to have to try to work on that here in just a second then. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's out of control. I don't know where we go with this, but we're going to have to take things to the next level. What would that level be, you might ask? You know what? Next hour, we'll drill into this with Sheriff Richard Mack as the Sheriff Mack Show simulcasts with Liberty Roundtable Live. We'll dig into this a little bit more. Stuart Rhodes, in my opinion, another victim. They pried into his private communications. They literally breached the Signal app. Where do we go from there? What do we do, folks? What do we do about it? We can't just do nothing, can we? I think not. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, BrightyOnRadio.com. Spread the word, tell the tale, share the love, will you please? Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips always. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. Simulcast with Brighty on TV every Tuesday for the Sheriff Mack Show. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one of the can, two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.